The devil can do you good. The devil can give you money. The devil can give you prestige. The devil can give you fun. The devil can give you all of that.
The devil's deals seem free, but Dr. Tony Evans says watch out for the hidden costs.
Satan will give you buying power, but always with interest in mind that he collects.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. The credit card is a relatively recent invention, but Dr. Evans says the choice to buy now, pay later has been around since the beginning of time. Let's join him as he talks about how this principle works in the spiritual realm.
Today, we want to look more specifically at the character of this rebel, the character of Satan. Now, you will recall when we looked at Ezekiel 28 that this was the showpiece of God. He was the anointed cherub. He was full of wisdom. He was, according to the scriptures, perfect in every detail. That name Lucifer means shining one. He's called Lucifer in Isaiah 14, 12. Lucifer, shining one, or son of the morning. If you were to put Lucifer, his angelic name during the good days, if you were to put Lucifer next to the other angels, it would be like putting the sun next to the stars. This one who was gold studded with diamonds as part of his makeup, and every jewel God could create had been stitched into his very being, and he was a wonder to behold. That is, until unrighteousness was found in him. And we discovered that unrighteousness was an unrighteousness of rebellion based on pride that grew out of jealousy that led to lawlessness. I want to look at three things. One, the curse of Satan's character. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 18. The Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And he said to them, Jesus talking to his disciples, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, let me ask a question. Who was living in heaven? What was his name? What was his name? No, what was his name up in heaven? Lucifer. But Jesus says in this verse, I was watching Satan fall from heaven. So the boy got a name change before he got a boot. Watch it now. Jesus says, I watched Satan fall from heaven, not Lucifer. Lucifer was his name before he rebelled. But when he rebelled and was sentenced, his name was changed. And his name was changed to adversary or opposer, which is the definition of the word Satan. Satan means adversary or opposer. In the Bible, names are very important because they are reflections of character. The names of God reflect God's character. The names for the devil reflect the devil's character. He is the adversary because he was opposing God. He was creating a coup d'etat, a rebellion against the holy God. There's another observation I want you to make out of this verse. Jesus says, oh, I like this, I was watching. Wait a minute, Jesus, you weren't born but 2,000 years ago in a little two-bit town called Bethlehem. What do you mean? You were watching. In order for you to be watching, you would have had to be there. Hello. You see where I'm going, don't you? This is why we worship Jesus Christ, and he is the only Messiah. He is the only one who has ever existed prior to human birth. Jesus Christ says, I was there. How could he be there? I'll tell you how he could be there. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how he could be there. Jesus Christ is God of very gods. Jesus is telling his disciples about his pre-existence. That is, he did not begin to exist in Bethlehem. That was when God became a man. Or to put it another way, Isaiah says, unto us a child is born. Ah, but that second stanza, but unto us a son is. The son wasn't born. The son was given. It was the child that was born. The eternal son became a baby. So a baby was born, but the son who existed from eternity past was given. Let me go over one other term on the content of his character. Another word. This is probably the word that you are most familiar with, either Satan or this one, and that is the word devil. Satan is used about 55 times in the New Testament, and devil is used about 35 times. And this is a very important word because it means accuser or slanderer. Satan seeks to injure the reputation of God, which means God doesn't get glory, or the reputation of God's people toward God so that God's name can be maligned. He seeks to injure the reputation, to defame it. And so he is regularly in God's presence, now follow this, in order to hinder God being glorified and us getting blessed. Now, to understand this activity, you have to understand that the universe operates like a court. All through Scripture, you find God bringing a charge against people. That's part of this legal thing. This is a court. As best as you can picture it, Satan was brought into court. Satan was charged with rebellion. He was found guilty. A lake of fire was his sentence. A period of time between his sentence and the carrying out of his sentence was allowed. Okay, a sort of prisoner on death row kind of thing. A period of time was allowed, during which period God would demonstrate his glory against his opposer. It's a court. So when the Bible calls him the devil, God is not trying to conjure up in your head a picture of a dude with horns and a red jumpsuit and a pitchfork. That is not what God is after. He's after you understanding the content of your opposer's character. When the Bible uses devil instead of Satan, it's trying to make a point. It's not just trying to say, here's another nickname for you to pick up on. For example, in Ephesians 4, the word devil is used. Verse 26, be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Why the devil? Why not just say the evil one? Why not just say the dragon? Why not say the serpent? Why say the devil? Because he is an accuser. When you give the devil a little bit, and in this case, it's your emotions getting out of control. Anger in this case. Then at that point, he has legal rights to accuse you. To accuse you to who? To accuse you to God. In Revelation chapter 12, he is viewed as the accuser. Verse 10 says, now salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. So this devilish activity of accusing is a very important item to Satan. Now why? He has been in God's court before, and he knows what kind of judge runs that court. And he knows that God is so righteous and so perfect that he has to deal with sin. And because he has to deal with sin, he then goes to the courtroom to lay a charge against you, just like a charge was laid against him. Because he knows that God must judge sin. His nature can't help it. So he is the accuser of the brother. Now, why is that important? That's important because if you're found guilty, and if you sin, you will be found guilty, then that means that judgment is the only response God can make out of his justice. He can't skip it. And that is why many Christians stay out of fellowship, because in this passage in Ephesians 4, he says, don't give the devil an opportunity to do what? To accuse you. Because once he breaks fellowship between you and God, he now has freedom to operate in your life directly or through his demonic host. And a lot of the problems people are having is that they gave the devil an opportunity to accuse them and then take up what became an opportunity and turn it into, get this, a stronghold. And a stronghold is where he has you under his control. And you're now addicted. You're now caught. You're now manic depressive if it was based on a spiritual issue and not a physical one. It is where he takes over. You open up the door for an accusation, unaddressed, undealt with. God can't help you because you've broken fellowship with him. And now he can step into the vacuum and control things. That is the name devil. So he is the devil. And that's why we're told in 1 Peter 5 to resist the devil. Don't let him bring you under his accusing control. Now, how do you do this? Third point, the conquest of his character. Back to our central passage, Revelation 12. Here it is, verse 11. And they, believers, overcame him, the devil, because of three things: the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. You need three things to keep the character of the devil from ruining you. You need the cross, you need the confession, and you need the commitment. You need the cross, you need the confession, you need the commitment. The first thing you need is the cross. He calls it the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is a reference to the death, what the death of Christ accomplished. Now, we've talked about it a lot, but let's look at it again. What the death of Christ did was it rendered Satan powerless when believers are operating out of the spiritual realm. It rendered him powerless to believers when they're operating out of the spiritual resources that God has provided. So he's not a powerless individual ipso facto. He is powerless to believers who are operating out of their spiritual resources.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back to explain how we often give Satan exactly the help he's waiting for. Right now, though, I want to tell you about two great resources we paired together to help you dig deeper into what angels are all about. The first is a CD collection containing all 6 full-length lessons in Volume 2 of our current series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. But we're also including the study guide that goes with it. It's the perfect way to deepen your personal devotions or to dig into this important topic with your care group, Bible study, or Sunday school class. Best of all, if you contact us by Friday, you can get this Angels study package as our thank you gift when you support our work right now with a contribution of any size. Don't forget, though, this offer ends Friday, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 for details before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on, but right now, let's get back to our lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
John chapter 12, verses 31 to 33 says that Satan was judged by the death of Christ. Now look at Romans 8. Look at verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So don't focus on the devil, focus on God. He who did not spare his own son and delivered him up for us all, the death of Christ, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Now that's heavy. That's saying, if you know Christ because of his death, then you got a lot of freebies that you haven't picked up yet. You see that? How will he not with him freely give us all things? If he gave you the harder thing, anything else is easy. Now watch this. Verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Now look at verse 34. Who is he who condemns? Okay, it's the accuser. It's Satan or one of his servants. Now watch this. Christ Jesus is he who died. Now please understand, he's raising this in light of condemnation. You are being condemned. Christ Jesus is the one who died. In other words, anybody who condemns you, Satan or people, have to overcome first what Jesus did when he died. Now watch this. He not only died, rather, and I like how he says, yes, rather, who was raised. So they not only have to overcome the death of Christ, they've got to overcome the resurrection of Christ. But not only that, who is at the right hand of God? They don't have to only overcome the death of Christ. They don't only have to overcome the resurrection of Christ. They now have to overcome the ascension of Christ. That he's now not only up from the grave, but he's now in heaven with the Father. But not only that, not only do they have to overcome the death of Christ, not only do they have to overcome the resurrection of Christ, not only do they have to overcome the ascension of Christ, but notice the end of verse 34, who also intercedes for us. Christ is not up in heaven twiddling his thumbs, tiptoeing through the tulips, wondering what's next on the agenda. Let me show you what Jesus Christ is doing right now in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, relative to the condemnation that comes from the devil when you sin and he accuses you before a holy God. Let me show you what Jesus Christ does. My children, I am writing unto you these things that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have a lawyer. The word advocate means legal counsel, because this is the courtroom, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, for the sins of the whole world. When Satan says, look at what your child did, look at what your child thought, look at what your child said, when you implement chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your lawyer, who the Father picked, who's related to the judge, because he's the son of the judge, stands in for his brother, because if you know Jesus Christ, you're part of his family, you're one of his siblings. He stands in and says, yep, Satan is right, he accuses accurately, but your honor, point of order, at this point in the courtroom, I just want to let you know that that accusation has already been covered by me. I have already covered that. Then why does Satan keep coming? Because he knows we're going to skip 1 John 1, 9. He knows we're not going to confess. And because he knows we're not going to confess, we're just going to keep on going, keep on going, keep on going, go. We break fellowship with the Father. He has an opportunity. He can build a stronghold. That's why he keeps coming. Because he wants to keep coming until he can get in. Secondly, confession. The word of the testimony. What does that mean? It means authority is never experienced until it is exercised. That's what it means. Testimony has to do with your public reflection of your belonging to Christ. It has to do with how you speak and how you live, whether you are adequately and accurately reflecting who Jesus is. If you're not reflecting it, if you're ashamed for other people to know you're a Christian, you have no power over the devil. Why? Because Matthew 10 says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So if you deny me before men, don't be calling on my daddy asking him to do nothing for you. Because if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. And God doesn't give you anything I don't sign off on. I have to sign off on every human request of God's children in order for my Father to grant it. Because John 17 says, whatever my Father gives you, he gives as a gift to me. So if I don't sign off on it, you don't get it. So now, what have you done for me lately? How come everybody else knows where everybody else stands and you, the secret servant Christian on your job? How come you're not demonstrating my glory? Ephesians 3:10, my wisdom, my knowledge. How come you're not public for me? If you're a private saint, then you're going to get some invisible blessings. Some of you saying, I'm blessed. What has God done for you lately? I don't know, but I'm blessed. Bible says his mercy is new every day, and you still think about what happened 2 years ago. Finally, they did not love their lives even to death. That's commitment. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead, nevertheless I live. I'm alive, yet not I, it's Christ who lives in me. Look at Luke chapter 10. He saw Satan falling from heaven. Now look at verse 19 and 20. Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Now, the word serpent and scorpions has to do with the devil, not reptiles. Has to do with the devil. The devil is the serpent of old. In other words, those serpents or scorpions who are carrying out Satan's agenda, I give you authority over. But now watch. They were excited, verse 17, that the demons were subject to them. Now watch this, verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the demons are subject to you, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is recorded in heaven. And why is he saying that? Because your authority doesn't come from your power. Your authority comes from your relationship. It is your relationship to Christ that gives you authority. You don't go power hunting, you go Jesus hunting. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more authority you have. And the more authority you have, the more power you can exert. Authority comes from your relationship, not from people looking for more power. You don't need more power. You need more relationship. Let's put it all together. Zechariah chapter 3. Now watch this. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Verse 2. And the Lord said to Satan, not the angel of the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. So the Lord says, the Lord rebuke you. So evidently one member of the Trinity is referring to the other. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Is this not one of mine? Joshua wasn't, you know, a perfect guy. He was clothed with filthy garments, standing before the angel. He was dirty. That's why he was standing there. He needed cleansing in his life. And he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. Again, he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festive robes. He comes dirty. Satan comes to accuse him. God says, don't worry, we're going to change your clothes because you've come in my presence with the help of my angel. Angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. Then I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, clothed him with garments, while the angel of the Lord, guess what, was standing by. The lawyer was in the courtroom, appealing the accusation, cross-examining. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my way when you leave here, try to live for me. And if you will perform my service, serve me, then you will, get this, govern my house. I'll continue to use you. You'll have charge in my court. So I will protect you from defilement. And then I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. I'll give you access to me whenever you need to hear from me. God still uses this priest. He changes his clothes in the temple. It's still possible to be obeying the devil, following the devil, living for the devil, obeying the devil, coming under his control, because what's on your legal paper in heaven hasn't become your experience on earth. You have to live today in light of what was signed yesterday. You must let yesterday's signature become today's decisions. When you and I learn to use the blood of Christ rather than just relating to it as something that happened years ago, then we'll be free at last. Truly free at last. And we'll be able to come to services like this and say, yep, thank God Almighty. I really am free at last.
Dr. Tony Evans, with advice today on standing up to Satan's accusations and attacks. And if you'd like to get the complete full-length version of this message, check with us for details on the title, The Character of Satan. Better yet, you can receive it as a part of Tony's current two-volume series, Angels, Good, Bad, and Ugly. And as I mentioned earlier, we're offering the 6 messages in Volume 2 of this CD series and the accompanying study guide as our thank you gift when you support our ministry with a contribution of any amount. So contact us at TonyEvans.org for the details before this offer runs out on Friday. And while you're there, take a moment to check out Tony's brand new book, Raising Kingdom Kids. Listeners have been asking for this follow-up to the bestsellers Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman for a long time, and it'll finally be available on September 1st. But if you pre-order it now, we'll send it to you as soon as it's released, along with over $80 in bonus resources, loaded with practical parenting help. So take advantage of this special Raising Kingdom Kids offer today by visiting us at TonyEvans.org or call our toll-free resource request line at 1-800-800-3222, where we have staff members standing by day and night to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, next time, we'll learn more about how God's Word can help you filter out the devil's distractions. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.